It's time for The Deuce with Jimmy Chavez on 1620 The Zone. All the headlines you need in 2 minutes or less.
All right.
Drop it on us.
Here it is.
Amy.
Red Hot Maverick Hockey is on the road for a big one at number nine. At number nine, Western Michigan tomorrow. 13-9-2, the Mavs jump on the road for the first time in 2023 after going 5-0-1 on their six-game homestand. Husker men's basketball, talked about a little bit earlier. They try to put the pieces back together on the road at Turtle tomorrow at 3:30. Speaking, women's basketball at Nebraska, led by Amy Williams, have a big nationally televised game on Big Fox tomorrow at Iowa. Tomorrow at noon, the Hawkeyes come in ranked number 10. In the NFL, I'll be interested to hear Gary's take on this on Monday. Cowboys defensive coordinator Dan Quinn says he's not going anywhere and will be the team's defensive coordinator in 2023.
He's just waiting on McCarthy.
Yeah. It's coming.
Good for him.
It's coming, I hope. He had interviewed with the Broncos, Cardinals, and Colts for their head coaching vacancies over the past few weeks. Congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs, who will win the AFC Championship on Sunday, thanks to Bengals cornerback Mike Hilton, who has coined the home of the Chiefs as Burrowhead, as picked up by NFL Films during last week's divisional victory in Buffalo. And because of that, at least we think that, the line has now jumped and the Chiefs are favored by a point and a half. Thanks a lot, man.
Hey!
So they have to hear about Joe Burrow all week. Oh, it can't be Joe Burrow. And then this dude has to go, Burrowhead.
And that adjusts the line, huh?
Driving in this morning, the lead-in show to us was talking about the Burrowhead thing.
Three pros and a Joe?
Three pros and...
Or is it two pros and a Joe?
Yeah, LeVar was on
two
one.
Two pros and a cup of Joe.
Cup of Joe, yeah.
But they had the audio from Mike Hilton. And they had me absolutely rolling because LeVar Arrington said it sounded like the Clayton Bigsby skit.
Yes. I mean, at this point, I might as well not even bother watching the game Sunday night.
Nope.
It's over.
Mike Hilton. See y'all at Burrowhead.
Chiefs fans, how you feeling about this one?
Burrowhead, not as loud as Seattle. At this point, why don't you just insult the barbecue, which is fantastic.
It's easy for me, you know, as a innocent bystander in all this, with no skin in the game, to be like, Chiefs fans, you guys are going to be fine.
Double digits, yeah. They win.
I know there are a lot of people out there like, oh, well, how dare you? You don't know.
You know.
I feel it.
I said 30-20 the other day.
Feeling my loins.
At this point, I'm saying 31-17. Like, it's...
You think the bulletin board material is enough, eh, Jimmy?
It's just, I mean, they're a really good team, the Chiefs are. So now you've pissed them off. So you're going to, a lot of people say, and rightfully so, they have not played their best game this season. They were pretty good at San Francisco earlier in the year. You're going to get their best game Sunday. Oh, yeah.
But Patrick Mahomes has a sprained ankle.
Oh, what's he going to do? Yeah, he's going to throw for like 350. Kelsey, I think, arguably, I mean, I get Mahomes as your most important player, but Kelsey's matchup nightmare. I mean, he really is such a huge part of what makes that team so successful. If you took Kelsey out of the picture, then you might be in trouble. And that's why you let Tyreek Hill go, because Travis Kelsey is a player that, hey, almost indefensible down at the goal line. So, Mike Hilton, everybody. The AFC Championship Game MVP for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Guys, one of our segments is now being used to shame someone.
Uh-oh.
In the Equitable Bank inbox, Joey says, we were talking about pipeline. He said, yeah, that was my spot. Good friends with the owner sent him the link of you guys talking about it just to shame him for closing down on us. LOL.
Come it just
on,
means man. They love the place. Joey, by the way.
Joey, we don't want to shame anybody. I don't want to pretend I know anybody's financial situation, why they had to close down. I know COVID was a bead, a lot of people, but come on, man. I don't shame them.
Also, by the way,
so many good memories there.
Before we forget, also the Equitable Bank inbox. John, good morning, John.
MeTV
has old school cartoons on Saturday mornings.
Who does?
MeTV.
Me? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Thank you, John.
All the classics,
yeah,
too.
The good stuff.
Hey, little breaking news, by the way, with the...
Zach Taylor caught Burrowhead?
Nope.
Okay.
This is the first reported by Pete Thamel.
Uh-oh.
That of Miami announces that OC Josh Gattis has been fired. He won the Broyles Award in 2021 for his work at Michigan. Miami's offense never got in sync in 2022. Josh Gattis was a hot name in college football. Hey, yeah, came to coordinator.
Huge deal for Mario.
It's late in the game now, too. Like, where's he going to end up?
That's
Is he going to end up on an NFL staff?
Well, didn't Michigan fire the guy who got on the computer?
Yes.
Then bring him back.
Yeah, that's right. He has fired. So, I mean, the Gattis-Harbaugh relationship, I don't know if it is a warm, comfortable one, but I still, I don't know where he'd wind up, but I still think Jim Harbaugh is very annoyed with the offseason that is going on, with a lot of the headlines around Michigan football being very negative, including the one that Jimmy just mentioned there, where you have a OC that has been removed from the team because of essentially like computer fraud.
Tried to go all war games.
Yeah.
Like computer fraud.
Computer fraud. What are you in for anyway?
I don't feel so good. I think I swallowed a finger.
I love how everything just keeps coming back to Necessary Roughness.
It always does.
Well, I did say, you know, does Ed Jim Straight Arrow Gennaro
Jim
return
Kelly's,
for your
Jim
two?
Kelly's the intimidating, like, outside linebacker going, all right, Dillos, let's get it on. Yeah. They're playing the prisoners. Man, that's good.
Boo, boo.
I set up a spirited workout with one of our state institutions.
As loyal Armadillo supporting.
Dick Butkus. Yeah, like the Gattis one, it's funny, as we were just talking about salary pools for Nebraska and what, you know, OC. I'm not saying this because I'm like, all of a sudden Matt Rule's like, wait, Josh Gattis is available? No, I'm not saying that. But yeah, I mean, Jimmy, I think you bring
up. You set this up beautifully with that last segment.
I know. Well, Pete and I were talking this morning. He tipped me off that this news would be coming out. But no, Gattis in Michigan would be interesting. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, Michigan still does have a vacancy. That was not filled, right? They didn't, like, promote from within.
I don't think so.
So, I have heard, again, that the Harbaugh-Gattis relationship isn't great. Isn't great. But you're kind of in a predicament, given the timing that one of your main offensive influences was let go for doing something very naughty with technology. So, wouldn't you think Michigan? I don't think this would necessarily be a Gattis like trying to run back home to Ann Arbor. I think this would be more of a Michigan saying, hey, what's it going to take? Just putting that out there. Also, but I'm going to put this out there too, because we don't know what's going to happen in Iowa City. If you're Iowa, are you intrigued? Now, I get it. Offensive philosophies, concepts, and how a guy maybe meshes with the head coach's overall vision of the offense has got to be exactly that. They got to be in sync there. But that's a pretty big offensive coordinator name that is now available after being released by the Dolphins.
You just got a transfer from Michigan. You have a guy who worked at Michigan.
I know Cade McNamara.
We're old pals.
Like, if you're Brian Ferentz and you're seeing this right now, you're like, what are those NFL gigs? Hey, so there's an opening in Miami? They just swap out.
Do you know how cold it is here?
No kidding.
My question
Ferentz is... Ferentz got, like, the slick back hair, too. I could see him being a Miami dude.
Why did Miami wait until January 27th to make a coaching change?
The timing is odd.
Like, what happened there? This is late now.
It's odd timing.
It's everybody who's kind of moved. The movements are done. Like the carousel's kind of stopped, or at least it's just barely creeping along at this point. New contracts have been signed. Everybody's kind of in place at this point.
Mm-hmm. Tweets have been sent. Posts have been made.
The question of is not only like where does Josh Gattis land? Who's Miami bringing in at this stage?
Well, and I know the Matt Weiss
second tier candidate, right?
Right. The Matt Weiss firing, by the way, I want to be clear, he was the co-OC and quarterback's coach.
Right.
But are you looking to, you know, fill that void? I don't know. This is obviously, we know who calls the shots when it comes to Michigan football. All right. And it ain't Ward Manuel. All right, is Jim Harbaugh Ward Manuel's boss? I don't know. But yeah. So I don't know if they're quick to just be like, all right, we're not going to have co-OCs. We're just going to have one OC. But I mean, Josh Gattis won the Broyles Award a year ago.
Good conversation starter for a potential job. So what have you done?
Yeah. Like, as far as college football circles, highly regarded. Highly regarded. And I'm not saying this is even going to happen. I don't know what happens to Brian Ferentz. I don't. But
he runs another terrible offense in Iowa City.
Remember what we were just talking about,
and
though,
it's with cold there?
Some of the teams out
here
of the
too.
Big Ten West? Like, I hope Nebraska. And I there's reason to believe, at least early on, as much as we can gauge from Matt Rhule, that he's trying to build this roster beyond division, beyond the Big Ten West, which goes away after a year. Luke Fickell is definitely doing that. And some of the teams I was curious, mainly Iowa, who has really enjoyed the Big Ten West, who's been at the top, near the top, almost every year in the Big Ten West. But as far as where they fall in the pecking order of the entire Big Ten when it gets to USC, UCLA, and there's no divisions, are you making the necessary adjustments? Because I don't want to make it sound like Iowa has to completely reinvent themselves, because there's a lot that Iowa does that other teams would want to have when it comes to line of scrimmage play. But are you putting yourself in a position that your offense will not hold you back like it did a year ago? This is a guy that I would be very interested in. If I'm an Iowa fan, I'd be like, eh. Because he knows the Big Ten. He knows Michigan, what their offense is able to do, while still maintaining a physical identity and a pro-style identity. And when you can recruit talent, I'm just saying, I don't even know if there is any, could be any connection whatsoever. But you bring up Cade McNamara.
Just some fresh ideas to bring to the room.
It's something. If I'm an Iowa fan, I'd be interested in that.
I think if you're an Iowa fan, you're interested in it. But I have no confidence that Kirk Ferentz can think far enough outside of the box to do something like that. Like, do we really think that he's gonna bring that guy in?
I don't know.
He's got his son running an offense that's like one of the worst in the country.
Well, yeah.
And he won't make a change. Won't even entertain the question. He gets mad at people when they ask, like, hey, the offense is, and he just shuts it down immediately.
It's like Bill Snyder when Sean was working for him. No.
I have no faith that this is a move that Kirk Ferentz would pull off.
If you're an Iowa fan, you want it, which is why it won't happen.
Self-contained in his little bubble. Of this is the way we have to do it.
All right, see, my buddy Brian, who is a huge Iowa fan, already said, I'm interested. Gattis McNamara.
Yeah, I would. The fans are interested. The fans hate Brian Ferentz.
But, okay, and this is where maybe I haven't been engaged with the Iowa football offseason chatter as much. Has there been any strong indication, one way or the other, on the future of Brian Ferentz? Because from...
Yeah, Kirk's not going to fire him. That's...
Well, from people that I've talked to, though... People that I do trust, people who cover Iowa football on the other side of the river, have suggested, and more than just hypothetical, have suggested, and this was even during the season, that it might come down to Brian being sort of transitioned into an NFL role. Not like, hey, we're the farm system for this NFL team Iowa is, and he's being promoted. But the fact that, I mean, the New England
being
Patriots...
sent up to the big club in Foxborough.
Gary brought this up, and this is, again, if I'm an Iowa fan, not only am I the Josh Gattis news now piquing my interest today, that he's now available. If you're just tuning in, Josh Gattis was fired from the Dolphins. But also, when Bill O'Brien was named the OC for Bill Belichick and the Patriots, Bill O'Brien and Brian Ferentz have a connection. Is that a situation where Bill O'Brien would like to bring on Brian Ferentz, who also has a connection with Bill Belichick, that... There could be a role with the Patriots. It's a, not necessarily, oh, this is where I've always wanted to be, but it's a Kirk behind closed doors talking to Brian saying, you know what? We've talked to Bill, talked to the Bills, not the Bobs. We've talked to the Bills, O'Brien and Belichick, and they'd take you if you're interested. This could alleviate a lot of pressure for me if we just say this was an opportunity that you couldn't turn down, so it looks like you left willingly, and we're able to avoid a very awkward situation because Kirk Ferentz is not Brian Ferentz's boss. That would be Gary Barta because of the old nepotism part.
Yep.
So how does Gary Barta feel about all this too, which I just don't know enough lately because it's been kind of quiet on that front. But this Josh Gattis news is interesting. And look, Josh Gattis may not want anything to do with Iowa. But I would think seeing Cade McNamara there, a guy that he's familiar with, a Big Ten conference that is becoming more and more exciting by the day, maybe you're still interested in being there.
So I think the scenario you lay out makes it an easy PR move for Iowa. My question arises in, if you're an NFL team and you've paid attention at all to Iowa football since Brian Ferentz has been the OC, why would you want to have anything to do with him? He's absolutely radioactive.
But I will give him this. As an offensive line coach, strictly that in developing offensive linemen, he's pretty good.
Okay.
But when he takes on the entire offense, and then last year he was sort of like oddly promoted to also oversee the quarterback play, and you saw how bad that was. Like, you can't ignore that.
I don't know. It seems like it would be a win for Iowa, and they would get out from under a bad situation that they're in, and an NFL team would be taking on something of a PR liability. Even though he is, like, by all accounts, a good offensive line coach, bringing that guy on staff after what's happened with, like, look, the offense in Iowa City was the laughingstock of college football. Right. Like, if you follow Sicko's committee on Twitter,
yeah,
it is a running
joke.
There
were numbers that you're just like, that can't be true.
How abysmal that offense.
Like, there was a scenario that Iowa would have been a better, more efficient offensively if they would have punted on third down. Like, and there was a stat that supported that. Like, it got that bad, and yet that defense was so good. And if they beat Nebraska, they're still going to the Big Ten championship game. So if I'm Kirk Ferentz, if I'm Phil Parker, I'm enraged because you still won in spite of a horrible offense. At some point, there has to be accountability. And I can only imagine the conversations between Gary Barta and Kirk Ferentz on that, because Kirk is not technically Brian's boss. So what that back and forth is like, I have no clue. If Brian Ferentz is back next year, wow.
I
have no clue.
I'm not disagreeing that Josh Gattis to Iowa makes a lot of sense. It does. It would make sense given all of the relationships with McNamara and, you know, needing someone to bring in some fresh ideas. Makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
I don't have any faith that the staff headed by Kirk Ferentz has the kind of foresight to do something like that.
The Stones?
Look,
there's an obvious obstacle there. I totally acknowledge that. And I'm not even saying it's even remotely possible that it happens. I'm just saying, if you don't explore that, boy, that's on you. All right, we're going to give you another stat before we wrap up the 8 o'clock hour. We're also going to be talking to Matt Verzel, or Husker, in the 9 o'clock hour. So on the other side of the break, a little stat. We'll get into some hoops as well. That's all still ahead. It is Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone.